Welcome to The Drive. Over the next 2 hours, we'll break down everything that's happening in the sports world, locally and nationally. Got an opinion? Hit us up at 843-652-3776. The Drive is socially networked. Get us on Twitter at 1003TheTeam or on Facebook at facebook.com/1003TheTeam. Now buckle up, take the car out of park, and let's go to the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team Studio in Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, with your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Ooh, it is Monday. It is Monday. Welcome to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team, coming to you from Murrells Inlet, South Carolina. Pat Payone, Wally B., and our buddy Rusty hanging out with us today for the next 2 hours, talking everything locally and nationally. It's the sports world for you.
Yeah. How was your weekend, man?
Not bad. How was yours?
It was cool. It was cool. I had a good time. Worked the Marathon Expo on Friday.
Nice.
Saw a lot of nice running ladies doing their thing. and then Saturday, I just kicked back, relaxed, got a workout in, and then enjoyed yesterday as well. So.
Nice.
I got to say a quick hello to a gentleman I met at church yesterday.
Yeah.
We were in a meeting for this church courses that we're doing, and we all just sit in a circle and say who we are and how long we've been coming to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I did my part, and at the very end of this meeting, it was about 45 minutes long, the gentleman next to me was with his lady. I believe his name was Chris. Chris, I forgot your name. I think it was Chris. Chris is like, at the end, oh, you're Wally B. I listen to you and Pat all the time. So I want to say a big thanks to Chris for being a team member every morning.
Awesome. Awesome.
And then he told me to invite you to church.
There we go. I'll see what
so
I.
So you're welcome to come anytime.
See what I can do.
As anybody is anytime. So.
Welcome to The Drive. It is Monday. I went out to the Coastal Carolina baseball game on Saturday, the first of the doubleheader. And I got to say, the pollen is absolutely incredible. The pollen is absolutely incredible. But let's start off the entire show by talking about that. We'll start off by talking about the Coastal basketball by the way. Up and down game for Coastal Carolina versus Appalachian State. They actually trailed by as 20 points early on. Then they made a strong second comeback to take a small lead, but they really couldn't complete the win in the hard-fought game against Appalachian State. They ended up losing 77-73, and with the loss, the Chanticleers fall to 15-16 and 10-8 in the Sun Belt. They actually led 59-57 with 8 minutes left in the game, but as the storyline for most of the season, rebounding and missed free throws turned out to be the downfall for the Chanticleers in this another Sun Belt tight game for them. Siobhan Wiggins and Jalen Shaw had huge nights. Siobhan Wiggins scored a team and game and season high 29 points. Jalen Shaw added 20. But they were the only two Chanticleers to reach double figures. And in listening to the broadcast, it seemed to me, from what I heard from the broadcast, there was a lot of ticky-tacky fouls that were called, and that was really affecting the flow of the game, not only for the Chanticleers, but for the Mountaineers as well. But CCU shot 40% from the field, but only 32% from the three-point land. And their big problem, again, hitting only 18 of their 33 free throws. That's 55%. The Mountaineers, with a win, moved to 9-20 on the season, 4-14 inside the Sun Belt. They out-rebounded the Chanticleers 50-35, and that 15-rebound difference is the largest rebounding difference of the season. Now, what does this mean in terms of the Sun Belt tournament, which gets underway this week? And I'm hoping to get a member of the Chanticleer basketball team on the show tomorrow to preview that. But this means that they finished 15-16, as I mentioned, 10-8 in the Sun Belt, and there is a three-way tie for 6th in the conference standings, and that led to the Chanticleers being the 8th seed heading into the tournament. They will play South Alabama, who finished 14-17, 7-11 inside the Sun Belt, who is the 9th seed, and they will tip off on the opening day of action on Wednesday at 11:30 a.m., which will be on our airwaves, Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Now, they faced each other back in Mobile, Alabama on February 20th, where the Chanticleers came back from 16 points down in that game to pull out an 81-77 overtime win. So, not the way you want to end the season for the Chanticleers, but the regular season at least, but got to turn it on now. This is the time to turn it on, and if you can make a run in the Sun Belt, win it, you are in the NCAA tournament. That is the only way the Chanticleers get in. But an exciting weekend for CCU baseball. As we mentioned late last week on Friday, they had a one-game winning streak going into this. Well, with the four games that they had over the weekend, it is now a five-game winning streak. And it'll start off on Friday with Coastal Carolina senior pitcher Alex Cunningham setting a school record with 14 strikeouts. This kid is amazing. And really, the storyline has got to be with Coastal Carolina, how their pitchers found their way this week.
Yeah, looking awesome.
They played all four pitchers for the weekend, had amazing games. But the 18th-ranked Shawna Clears needed just three runs in the eighth to claim a 7-5 victory over San Francisco on Friday. And although Cunningham didn't factor into the game, he left after six and two-thirds innings, trailing 4-3. He allowed six hits, four runs, with just four walks. Now, interestingly enough, the four runs he gave up, all off of home runs, but taking the 14 strikeouts he had, it was an incredible game.
Good stuff.
But he broke the school record, which was previously at 13 strikeouts. That was held by Stephen Carter versus Winthrop in 2004, and Ron Duble did it back in 1998 versus Richmond. He had at least two strikeouts in six innings, including two frames, striking out the entire side. But Woodmeyer's singled. This was in the bottom of the eighth. They tied the game at 5-5 with Woodmeyer singling, stole second, scored on an RBI double by Kevin Woodall Jr. Seth Lancaster then welcomed new pitcher for the Dons, Joey Steele, with an RBI double of his own. And then Dalton Ewing singled to left to drive in Lancaster to take the 7-5 lead. Cole Schaefer got the win, his first win of the season. We move to Saturday's first game, the game I was at. And it was a pretty interesting game. There was a lot of instances where the Shawna Clears were going up against the bases loaded, and their pitchers were able to get out of the inning. And despite not factoring into the decision, CCU All-American Andrew Beckwith struck out a career-high 10 batters in 5 2/3 innings to help the Coastal Carolina Shawna Clears get the 8-3 win over Winthrop in that game. And another home run for Kevin Woodall Jr., who this was his sixth of the season. He has just got the hot bat right now. But Austin Kitchen got the win in the relief, working just one inning, striking out two batters. We move to the second game of Saturday. What a complete weekend for the Shawna Clears. They got the sweep of the doubleheader 14-0 with the win over Albany. And the teams mutually decided to stop the game after seven innings because it was such a devastating blow to the Albany. I don't even know what they're some type of dog. I don't even know. It's a Great Danes. That's what it is. But they defeated Winthrop earlier 8-3. Then they got the win over Albany 14-0. And Coastal only needed eight hits in this win, two of them being home runs in this game. And Jason Billis, he had a career best performance. He was credited with his first career shutout and complete game while allowing just two hits and eight strikeouts. A very interesting game. But then you move to Sunday, where the Shawna Clears took on San Francisco again, and they got another win, 6-1. So again, five-game winning streak, and this was thanks to Zach Hopek, who struck out a career-high six and only allowed two hits over eight innings as they won their fifth straight game in a row. The Shawna Clears, interestingly enough, 14 games in 17 days. They are now 9-5 overall, thanks to that five straight solid pitching performances over the last five games. But Coastal struck out 14 batters against UNC Wilmington, and then they had 14 Ks on Friday. Then they had 10 strikeouts over Winthrop, and Jason Billis fanned eight versus Albany in the nightcap. Well, Zach Hopek only allowed two hits. Both were doubles in the second inning that led to the Dons' lone run. He also allowed one walk with six strikeouts over eight innings. And then Kevin Woodall continues his tear. He went 2-for-3 with an RBI single and a solo home run in this game. And he's had at least one RBI in each of CCU's five games this week, including four games with two RBIs. In fact, he had two RBIs in the Albany game despite going 0-for-3 thanks to an RBI walk and a sacrifice fly. So a great weekend for Shawna Clear baseball. They continue their eight-game home stand by hosting Wake Forest this Wednesday at 4 p.m. Whew, that was a lot to talk about. Hey, Wally, how do you think we did in the pick'em contest on Friday?
You won. I came in second, and the listener
Greg,
came
Greg
in second.
Greg, our guest, yes. That is exactly how it went down. I went 5-3. Wally went 4-4. Greg went 3-5. Wally, you got all four college basketball games correct. Not a single NBA game.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. I went 3-4 in college basketball, 2-2 in the NBA. But pretty interesting weekend, especially that Duke-North Carolina game. That was a great game. Didn't really get to watch it, though. All right, let's get into today's day in birthdays and today's day in history. And a great day for birthdays today for sports athletes. Starting off in 1940, Willie Stargell, the MLB left fielder and first baseman Hall of Famer who played his career with the Pittsburgh Pirates. He was born on this day in 1940. Also born this day, goalkeeper for the U.S. national team, formerly of Everton, and now the goalkeeper for the Colorado Rapids in the MLS. Tim Howard, born on this day in 1979. I know Rusty's a big soccer fan, so he'll appreciate me throwing that one in there. You and I are the only soccer fans pretty much on the Grand Strand, Rusty. Also born this day, 1986, Jake Arrieta, the MLB pitcher who has pitched his entire career with the Cubs. He was a 2015 Cy Young Award winner. And also born this day, 1994, Marcus Smart, the NBA point guard for the Boston Celtics. That leads me to my sports birthday profile. So, Wally, tell us who our celebrity birthdays are.
We know her as Lorna Morello on Orange is the New Black. Yale Stone is 32 today. This rapper, who has played the Boathouse here in Myrtle Beach quite a few times over the last few years at their Sunday concert series, Bubba Sparks, the white rapper who's more successful than Snow, less successful than Eminem and the Beastie Boys, and debatably more successful than Vanilla Ice and Kevin Federline. Bubba Sparks is 40, and his booty
Bubba
looks
Sparks
80.
Is way better than Kevin Federline. Are you kidding me? Give some credit where credit's due, Wally.
Kevin tried to rap once, so I had to throw him in there.
Awful.
And the Nubian comedian D.L. Hughley is 54 today. Tom Arnold is 58, only as good as the people he gloms onto. He's total coattail rider there.
Yeah.
Then the gentleman we've known as Meathead on the classic sitcom All in the Family. Since then, he's directed movies like This Is Spinal Tap, The Princess Bride, When Harry Met Sally, A Few Good Men, and he's become a deliciously chubby bear to those who like delicious chubby bears. Rob Reiner is 70. You know, when I saw Jimmy Walker at the Comedy Cabana last weekend, he talked about when he was on the big show, Good Times, that made him who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He was up for all these awards, and every award that he didn't win, he lost to Rob Reiner, which is pretty funny, because All in the Family was just so huge and groundbreaking and culturally changing, etc., back in the day. Also, he is the lead guitarist for this band, one of my all-time favorite bands. He is turning 71 today. David Gilmour of Pink Floyd.
Nice.
Come on, hit the jam, Jeff. Get the money. There you go.
Money. Course,
exactly. This is their big song. Big song, Money. Love this song. But happy birthday, David Gilmour is 71, lead guitarist of Pink Floyd. And then also having a birthday today, she turned 73 from the Supremes. Mary Wilson is 73. And she was like Diana Ross's rival in the Supremes. Of course, Diana became the bigger star, but Mary Wilson is 73.
Nice.
So that's it for our guy. Who's our profile today?
Born on this day, March 6th, 1972, one of my favorite NBA players, Shaquille O'Neal, nicknamed Shaq, or some of his self-given nicknames, the Big Aristotle, Hobo Master, the Diesel, Shaq Fu, Big Daddy, Superman, Big Agave, the Big Cactus, the Big Shactus, the Big Galactus, Wilt Chambernese, the Big Barry Schnapp, I don't even know how to say that one, the Real Deal, the Big Shamrock, the Big Leprechaun, Shakovich, the Big Conductor, I could keep going. But he's a retired American professional basketball player and former rapper who is currently an analyst on the television program Inside the NBA. Listed at 7'1 and 325 pounds, he's one of the heaviest players to ever play in the NBA. Played for six teams throughout his 19-year NBA career. He was the first overall pick in the 1992 draft by the Orlando Magic out of LSU. Became one of the best centers quickly in the league, winning the Rookie of the Year and then leading his team to the 95 NBA Finals. Now, after 4 years in Orlando, he then signed a free agent deal with the Los Angeles Lakers, where they won three consecutive championships when he teamed up with Kobe Bryant and had all of that tension that we knew about.
Yeah.
He was then traded to the Miami Heat in 2004, and he won his fourth NBA championship following the 2006 season, thanks to himself and Dwayne Wade. And then he was traded to the Phoenix Suns, traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers, then played for the Boston Celtics before retiring. He had so many accolades, including the MVP award. He also was the NBA Rookie of the Year, as I mentioned earlier. 15-time All-Star Game selection, 3-time All-Star MVP award winner, 3-time Finals MVP award winner, 2 scoring titles, 14 All-NBA first team member, three-time all defensive team selections, and he is one of only three players to win the NBA MVP, the All-Star Game MVP, the Finals MVP award in the same year. The others are Willis Reed in 1970 and Michael Jordan in 1996, and then he did it again in 1998. He ranks 7th all-time in points scored, 5th in field goals, 13th in rebounds, and 7th in blocks. And largely due to his ability to dunk the basketball, he ranks 3rd all-time in field goal percentage at 58.2%. He was elected in the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame in 2016. And additionally to his basketball career, he released 4 rap albums, with his first Shaq Diesel going platinum, and then had a very terrible acting career with movies like Kazam and Blue Chips. Kazam, awful.
Yeah, I was going to say, what was the name of the genie he played? Kazam.
Yeah, that's bad. But he finished up his career with 28,596 points, 13,099 rebounds, and 2,732 blocks. Shaquille O'Neal, one of my favorite players. I wish he would have stayed in L.A. for a little bit longer. They probably could have won a couple more titles.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There's just so much.
Him and, you know, Kobe's temper.
So much issues with him and Kobe on the court.
And he totally blew in Cleveland, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He helped us.
He helped us towards the end of his career.
He helped us. He didn't help us at all,
Pretty much.
But, you know, I have to confess, I actually liked the movie that he was in when he played the genie. I liked that
Kazam?
Movie. Yeah, I liked it.
Yikes.
I did. I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was good. Maybe it was just a storyline. You know what I'm saying? Because I felt like vicariously.
A genie that comes out of a boombox?
Well, I felt like that little kid. Because, you know, it was like, for me, it was sort of reflective of my life in some way. So I think as a kid who had no father or a bad father. Of course, I wish my father was the bad, you know what, that guy, his father was in the movie. But my father was a total
Now, as a kid, yeah, you probably liked the movie. It's a great movie. But if you were to watch it now, you'd be like, why am I wasting this hour and a half of my
life? I wouldn't watch it again. I liked it back then when I saw it. I remember.
As long as we're on the same page with that.
I did enjoy it.
Okay. Well, Blue Chips, he didn't really have to act. He was pretty much the guy he was. And so it was a good acting role for him in that one. All right, let's get into today's day in history. I start off in 1972. Where do you start, Wally?
I start off 181 years ago.
Of course you do. Go ahead.
It was 1836. After a 13-day siege, the Alamo fell to Mexican forces led by General Antonio López de Santa Anna. All 187 defenders of the Alamo, including Davy Crockett and Bowie Knife, inventor Jim Bowie, the inventor of the knife, Jim Bowie, they were killed by the Mexicans. Now, in 1960, John Wayne played Davy Crockett in the film The Alamo, and honkies in brown makeup played most of the Mexicans back then, which wouldn't be fair now. And then about 150 years later, after the battle took place, Ozzy Osbourne was arrested for urinating on this hallowed ground while wearing one of his wife's dresses.
Way to go, Ozzy.
That's a true story, by the way. Classy.
Way to get into the history right there, Wally.
Then I go to 1896.
You have the next one as well.
121 years ago, Charles Brady King drove the first car on the streets of Detroit. When it broke down on a busy street, people yelled at him, "Get a horse! Get a horse!" And then, you know, he said, "Hey, get a horse. Horsepower." And then he decided to make it, you know, called "How Much Horsepower Does a Car Have?"
So. You're ridiculous.
Then I go to 1950.
You have the next one as well.
One of my favorite toys as a kid, still popular today, Silly Putty was invented.
Oh, yeah.
1950, 67 years old. So happy birthday to Silly Putty. Then I go to 1983.
All right. Finally get into the action
there. That's 1972. One more is all I got. So.
1972, Jack Nicklaus passes Arnold Palmer as golf's all-time money winner. Nicknamed the Golden Bear, we know all about Jack Nicklaus, won a total of 18 career major titles, championships, while producing 19 second-place finishes and 9 third-place finishes in over 25 years. Now, if you were to look at the all-time money list right now, as of this past weekend, Jack Nicklaus is actually 260th. And that is not because he didn't win all those tournaments. It's because they didn't give away any money for him winning all those tournaments. Now, who's number one? Shocker here, Tiger Woods is number one all-time on the money list with $110,061,012 is what he's won.
Is that endorsements or golf winnings?
That's just golf winnings.
Okay.
Just golf winnings.
That sounds low if it's endorsements.
Oh, yeah. Phil Mickelson's number two, Vijay Singh number three, Jim Furyk number four, Ernie Els number five, and as I mentioned, Jack Nicklaus now 260th. I then go to 1982. What was the year that you had, Wally?
1983.
All right, I'll do one more. This was actually the day in history when the San Antonio Spurs and the Milwaukee Bucks broke the record for most points in an NBA game. Now, currently, that is actually number two. It was broken again just a year later by the Detroit Pistons and the Denver Nuggets, who totaled 370 points. Oh, wow. I mean, that's 33 points more than was scored in this game. But it was the highest scoring game between the Detroit Pistons and the Denver Nuggets, 186-184 in three overtimes. The San Antonio Spurs beat the Milwaukee Bucks on this day, 171-166 in three overtimes. And for the Spurs, George Gervin had 50 points. Mike Mitchell had 45 points. For the Bucks, Brian Winters had 42 points. Junior Bridgman had 31 points. And Bob Lanier had 29 points. Now, 1990 was number three, by the way, Golden State Warriors getting the win over the Denver Nuggets, 162-158, and that did not have any overtime, so pretty incredible there. All right, I go the 1985, Wally.
34 years ago, 1983, the sponge contraceptive was approved by the FDA, and now we know the biggest sponge that absorbs that stuff are the Kardashian sisters. And that's all I got.
All right, my final one to wrap this ridiculous segment up. Ina Slaughter and Archie Vaughn on this day, 1985, were elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. Slaughter began his career with the St. Louis Cardinals in 1938 as a 22-year-old. He spent 13 seasons with the Cardinals and was a 10-time All-Star. Now, like many players in his era, Slaughter's career statistics would have been better if he hadn't missed three prime seasons to serve in World War II. He was a sergeant in the Army Air Corps, and aside from his intense, sometimes violent playing style, he's best known for his mad dash in the World Series in the bottom of the eighth inning of Game 7 with a score tied at 3-3. He was on first base with two outs when Cardinals manager Eddie Dyer called for a hit and run, and then outfielder Harry Walker lined the ball into center, and Slaughter took everyone, including the Red Sox defenders, by surprise when he ran through a stop sign at third base, and a rush throw home by Red Sox shortstop Johnny Penske allowed Slaughter to score what proved to be the game-winning run. Pretty interesting right there. And then you also have Archie Vaughn, who was a premier shortstop of this era, one of the best in baseball history. He hit 300 or better in each of his first 10 major league seasons, all with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and led the National League in runs and triples 3 years apiece, as well as triples once. Vaughn's best season was in 1935 when he led the National League in batting, slugging, and on-base percentage. His .385 average that year was the highest in the 20th century for a National League shortstop. So two great guys elected into the Baseball Hall of Fame on this day.
Yeah.
All right, Wally. Let's tell the people what they're hearing on today's show.
Yeah.
Good, bad, and ugly. It is Monday, so we're going to go through our good, bad, and ugly from the weekend in sports. There is a possible three-team NFL trade. We're going to talk about that, whether we like it, whether we don't like it, or whether it's even going to happen. Also, you know, with the combine comes out a lot of rumors, and some rumors are swirling around Johnny Manziel. We'll talk about those. Wally B's World of Sports kicks off the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to have another conversation about Mark Cuban and whether he is an idiot or whether he is right, all talking about his top three ranking for the MVP award right now. And then we are close to the NFL free agency, so we'll talk about some trends that will possibly happen in NFL free agency. That is all on today's show. We'll wrap it up with what to watch and the final word as well. Let's tell the folks what they can participate in on Twitter, at 100 through the team. What is your good, your bad, your ugly from the weekend in sports? Go on Twitter, at 100 through the team. Let us know that. What do you think about the NFL trade that would send Romo to Washington, Kirk Cousins to San Francisco, and the number 2 overall pick to Dallas? It's a good trade, bad trade, or it won't even happen. Will quarterback Johnny Manziel ever get a shot in the NFL, yes or no? All right, Mavericks owner Mark Cuban says Russell Westbrook is not in the top three for the MVP award voting. Your response, is he an idiot or is he right? And then who is your top three for the NBA MVP award? All those polls can be found on Twitter, at 100ThroughTheTeam. Again, at 100ThroughTheTeam. Phone lines wide open for you today, 843-652-3776. Again, 843-652-3776. When we come back, good, bad, and ugly from the weekend in sports.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. 29 and a half minutes past the hour, and it is Monday, so let's get to our good, our bad, and our ugly.
It's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly from the weekend in sports.
Go on Twitter, at 100 through the team. Let us know your good, your bad, your ugly from the weekend in sports. I'll start off with mine. I start off with number 18, Coastal Carolina Baseball, on a five-game winning streak, winning four of their four games over the weekend. And pitcher Alex Cunningham is another good for setting the new school record with 14 strikeouts on Friday against the University of San Francisco. Another good's got to be Dustin Johnson. It's his first start since his five-shot victory at Riviera that made him the number one player in the world. Johnson captured his fourth World Golf Championship title Sunday by really playing a great couple of four rounds. And he won for the fifth time in his past 15 starts on the PGA Tour, including a major and two World Golf Championships. Now, he became the fifth player to win his first tournament as the number one player in the world, and his fourth World Golf Championship title is now second on the career list behind, shocker here, Tiger Woods, who won 18 since the series began in 1999. Another good for me, John Ross. He put the NFL world on notice when he ran a 40-yard dash time of 4.22, breaking the combine record previously held by Chris Johnson's 4.24. Now, the unfortunate thing, Wally, didn't win or didn't rock those Adidas cleats to get the either $1 million or the island.
Ooh.
So he just wore his own cleats. But he said he can't swim anyway, so he doesn't want the island. But John Ross breaking the 40 time in the combine, it's got to be a good as well. Bad? I don't know if anybody watched UFC 205 over the weekend. But there was a lot of hype around this Wonder Boy, Tyron Woodley championship match. And the end result, by the way, Tyron Woodley won by a major decision. But if it was up to Dana White, the UFC president, he actually spoke to Fox Sports and said he actually scored the fight the other way, giving Wonder Boy the win. And so it's got to be bad for the UFC that the judges go one way and the owner of the UFC and the president of the UFC says he had it the other way. That's just a bad in my mind. Even if you think that, Dana White, I don't know if you come out and actually say that, because that just makes your own, you know, judges look terrible.
Yeah.
Another bad for me, if you watched the NASCAR race yesterday, Kevin Harvick literally led every lap of that race until 14 laps left, when he got a speeding penalty on pit road, and he ends up finishing ninth place. And a race just covered in speeding penalties for pit road, we had this happen, and Kevin Harvick ends up finishing ninth place. But the end of the race was pretty good in the fact anyway.
He's got 7 tenths on Kyle Larson, but for Roger Penske and Ford, Brad Keselowski wins the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500.
Now, winning a sprint or a Monster Cup race, that's the first love of the year. These aren't easy, and there's all kinds of adversity that comes at you no matter who you are. And, you know, Kevin was very, very strong and probably was the guy to beat. But we got to thank my whole team here. They've been digging. We thought we were one of the cars to beat at Daytona and kind of got wrecked out there, didn't get to show our potential. But everybody here kept their heads up, move on to next week, and this is what you get with that kind of effort. So I'm really proud of my guys.
Yeah,
it was a great race to watch, though. It really was. You know, Kevin Harvick really dominated the entire race until the last 14 laps when he had that speeding penalty, which is incredible. One ugly for me, and if you watched any of the coverage of the NFL Combine, you know what I'm about to talk about. That's Reuben Foster in a hospital conflict gets dismissed from the NFL Combine. Now, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, he was sent home from Indianapolis after a confrontation with a hospital worker, and then there were some more details that came out Saturday morning, including Foster growing impatient for the long line for exams, and he pulled the "Do you know or don't you know who I am" card,
uh-oh,
which you never do. The male hospital employee, unimpressed, told him he could wait like everyone else. Foster then warned the man he'll put his hands on him, and the employee simply said, "Do it." And then that resulted in a face-to-face heated exchange that had Reuben Foster, the Alabama linebacker, who is supposed to be a top 10 pick, dismissed from the NFL Combine. Now he's going to have some splaining to do
exactly.
for some NFL teams about what happened. All right, Wally, tell us your good, your bad, your ugly.
I don't have one. I have to confess. I don't have anything this morning. I've been too busy training Rusty to think about it.
I got a bad for you.
All right, give me a bad.
How about the Cavaliers not playing
you're right.
Kyrie Irving or LeBron James against the Bulls, and both of us picked Yeah. Or no, it was the Heat. They played the Heat.
Had we known that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way we would have picked the
I tuned in early, and the game was like, it was close. It was back and forth between a point. And I thought, okay, well, the Cavs, they may pull this out without Kyrie and LeBron. But I had totally forgot that I had picked them in the our picking contest, so oh well.
Go on Twitter at 100 through the team. Hey, I also got a soccer ugly. Fernando Torres.
Yes.
Wasn't that one of the sickest things you've ever, like, awful. That was disgusting.
He is so lucky to walk away from that with only a night in
the
hospital.
So if you don't know what happened, Fernando Torres is a starting striker for Villarreal.
Atletico Madrid.
Atletico Madrid. It was one of those Spanish teams. He goes up for a header and he clanks heads with the defender. And just is unconscious in the air, falls down straight on his face, and all of the players rush him because they think he's having a seizure, so they try to get his mouth open to get his tongue out, and he's just unconscious on the floor or on the pitch. And like Rusty said, only had to spend one night in the hospital. He's very lucky. Could have been a very serious injury.
He should be back playing hopefully tomorrow.
That's crazy. That's crazy because wow. It was scary. It was very scary. Yeah, like I said, go on Twitter at 100 through the team. Give us your good, your bad, your ugly. We will read those throughout the show. Want to hear from you guys, 843-652-3776. A great presenting sponsor of The Drive is HTC. HTC, this is life. Connect with it. And it doesn't matter if you're a power user accustomed to lightning-fast downloads or someone who just needs to check your email daily, HTC High-Speed Internet has a plan and pricing perfect for you. HTC High-Speed Internet has installation and 24/7 tech support all for free with no hidden equipment fees. And for more details, you can call HTC at 843-369-8982. Again, 843-369-8982. HTC, this is life. Connect with it.
Today is Monday.
I will see you Monday.
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 Mr. Monday.
I'm just not really myself.
Man, this is the worst job I've had since I was the conductor for the Sand People Choir.
Are you America's team?
America's team.
It's harder and harder each year to consider them as America's team.
Well, I think so.
It's hard to find who the actual host is.
Let the dancing begin!
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Coming to you from Merle's Inlet, South Carolina. Pat Payne and Wally B hanging out with you. And our buddy Rusty hanging out as well. Wally's going to be off for a couple of days. So Rusty's getting in here doing some training, and he's going to be hanging out with me over the next couple of days.
It's a bookend week for me. I'll be here Monday and Friday. I'll be off tomorrow through Thursday. For personal reasons.
I gotcha.
But we all need those. But then, like Arnold, I'll be back.
You will be back. I got some good, bad, and uglies coming in on Twitter real quick. Kevin writes in, good. The Clemson wins the baseball series against USC. Bad, Reuben Foster sent home from Combine. Ugly, Grayson Allen doing Grayson Allen things. Oh, yes. That is very true. Dustin writes in his good, bad, and ugly. He says, good. Clemson wins the series against South Carolina. Bad. Too many men LOB from the hitters. I'm not sure I know what that means. Ugly, USC trying to pitch to Seth Beard in the ninth inning. Yeah, that is ugly. You are correct there. All right. There is along with the NFL Combine, there's always trade rumors. There's all these rumors about who's being picked. But there's a pretty interesting trade rumor that came out of the Combine. And it's all surrounding Tony Romo, Kirk Cousins, and the San Francisco 49ers. Could these three teams link up in a deal? It sounds like a possibility. Before we get into this conversation, let's go to the phone lines. We've got
James who wants to chime in on this issue with Romo and Cousins.
James, let's go for it. What's going on, my man?
How y'all doing this morning?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm doing good, but I don't think there's any chance of this trade happening. I don't think the Redskins are... They might be a little dysfunctional, but I don't think they're that bad off. I mean, that would just be horrendous to get rid of Cousins and not get that number two draft pick. That would be horrendous.
No, you're right. They would definitely need a lot of compensation, and that's kind of what I was going to get into. But you know how dysfunctional they are, James, is that the fact that their GM, who is supposedly one of the best talent evaluators in the NFL, doesn't even show up for the combine. And I understand, you know, there's family issues and everything like that, but he doesn't show up to one day of the combine. That just sets a precedent for the entire season, almost, and your entire future for the Redskins as just a negative, in my opinion.
And another thing. That boy the Woods has got for the net, that boy can stroke it. Bajanovic or whatever his name is,
Say it again?
The guy that the Wizards got from the Nets?
Yeah.
That guy can shoot. Cleveland's going to have their hands full with the Wizards now, I think.
Oh, we'll see. It's hard for me to pick anybody in the Eastern Conference to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in seven games.
That gives them a chance, though.
It gives them a chance.
With him and Jennings running that second unit.
Yeah.
They'll go at least six games with us now.
No, they won't. Hey, no. I mean, there's a possibility that both the Wizards and the Celtics could go six games. I just don't see either team being able to win seven games against the Cavaliers.
Yeah, you're right.
4-1 each series.
4-1 each series. It's spoken like a true Cleveland fan.
If Love's back and healthy and everything, the big three are healthy, and with the bench they got,
they rest the old man knees of LeBron James exactly. The rest of the season. Yeah, I hear you. Well, James, really appreciate the phone call breaking down this trade. Dustin writes in again. He says LOB means left on base. Yeah, too many men left on base from the hitters. Yeah, you are correct about that Clemson South Carolina game series. But let's get back to this trade. So NFL media's Ian Rappaport says the Redskins, Cowboys, 49ers could potentially work together on a three-way trade that would involve not only Kirk Cousins, the quarterback for the Redskins, but Tony Romo, the backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. So talking about this trade, and this is the preliminary talks, and it's a rumor, so we don't know all the details, and probably there would be more involved in this, but the three main pieces that would be involved: Dallas would get the number 2 overall pick from San Francisco, which would lead you to believe they're going to get one of the premier pass rushers or defensive linemen in this draft, which they are strongly coveting. That is one of the pieces that they need the most. And so from their aspect, this would be a huge trade. Washington would get Tony Romo from Dallas to be their starting quarterback, and San Francisco would get Kirk Cousins from Washington. Now, if you're breaking it down like that, those are the three key pieces. Washington, because they're getting rid of the key piece of their offense, Kirk Cousins, would need a lot more compensation from both the Dallas Cowboys and the San Francisco 49ers. You know, whether it's the Dallas Cowboys sending their first-round pick, which is in the 20s somewhere, to Washington, that needs to be added in there. And probably some second and third round picks, maybe even San Francisco's first round pick next season as well, going to the Washington Redskins. But if I'm the Redskins, if it's just that, those three pieces, there's no way you can do this. There's no way. And so if it were to happen like this, Dallas would get an A-plus for this deal because they would get the number 2 overall pick, and you got to believe Myles Garrett will be off the board, possibly. Unless something just drastically happens where the Cleveland Browns pull a Cleveland Browns move and pick Mitch Trubisky with the first overall.
They will.
Which they probably will. Or Deshaun Watson. Or even Jonathan Allen. Then you get Myles Garrett getting his wish, as we mentioned a month ago, talking about, hey, Dallas, trade up to get me because that's where I want to play. We already have our starting quarterback. He was already saying we. Being a part of the Dallas Cowboys, yes, he's from the state of Texas, but Dallas would move up to that number 2 overall pick, and they would get one of the two premier pass rushers in this NFL draft, either Jonathan Allen or Myles Garrett. It would be an A-plus trade for the Dallas Cowboys because not only do they get rid of the Tony Romo saga out of Dallas, but they get the biggest piece that they need for that defense, which is an edge pass rusher or some type of pass rusher.
The Browns are going to trade that number 1 pick for multiple picks from another team, or two. It'd be maybe a more than one team trade, okay? That's
okay.
What's going to happen. They're going to do what they can to fortify the offensive line, and they're not going to get Myles Garrett, but he's not going to end up in Dallas. He's going to end up somewhere that he doesn't want to be, and he's going to have to suck it up, sign, and play, because these players can't dictate where they want to go.
No, you're right. And he jokingly said over the weekend, he apologized to the Cleveland Browns because they do pick him. He had already said he wants to play for Dallas and everything like that, so he's joking around. He will play wherever he gets drafted. You are correct.
Many truths are said in jest.
You are. Yeah, very true. You're right there. For Washington, getting rid of Kirk Cousins and replacing him with Tony Romo as your starting quarterback, the highest I can give that is a C-. That's the highest I can give that trade for the Washington Redskins. Tony Romo is a good quarterback, but he gets injured each and every season now. He is as frail as an 80-year-old man. He really is. So you cannot tell me that this would be a good trade for the Washington Redskins unless they were to get a whole boatload of picks either this year and in the future as well to go along with Tony Romo. For the San Francisco 49ers, getting Kirk Cousins, because also it came out of the weekend, Kirk Cousins, the only team or the only guy, I guess you can say, that he would sign a long-term deal with is Kyle Shanahan. He said that himself. And so getting... getting the Kirk Cousins to come to San Francisco in this trade and possibly giving up the number two overall pick. I mean, I would say it's a B. I'm not going to give it a B plus or anything higher because San Francisco has a lot of holes in this defense that they need to go ahead and fix, and a lot of holes on that offensive line. So Kirk Cousins isn't going to fix everything. But this is your franchise quarterback, and right now, If I'm correct, they don't have a single quarterback on this roster right now. San Francisco, not a single quarterback. They're going into next year probably starting the punter as the quarterback right now. So it would be very interesting to see if this trade were actually happen. Probably not going to happen, but very interesting. A lot of things would have to change. These three pieces would have to be involved, obviously, but there would have to be a lot more in terms of Dallas giving up a little bit more and the San Francisco 49ers giving up a little bit more, because right now that big piece is the Kirk Cousins aspect of this trade and the number two overall pick, which San Francisco is giving up and then getting Kirk Cousins, the best quarterback in this deal. So what do you think about this possible trade? Do you think it's a good trade, bad trade, or won't even happen?
I think it won't happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. It's great to talk about because, you know, the NFL Combine not only is the underwear Olympics, but it's the rumor mill of everything going on.
Yeah.
But amid these rumors, you know, Jerry Jones had the Jerry Jones and Tony Romo have an unspoken understanding, in quotations I have to put up there, because Jones said he won't be trading Romo to Washington under any circumstances or even inside the NFC East. And Tony Romo said himself, he won't be tempted to stay inside the NFC East either if he's released.
Makes
so
sense.
So a lot of pieces would have to change. A lot of things would have to be added to this deal if it's going to get done. But right now, 60% of you say it won't happen. That's where Wally B and I are right now. 27% say it would be a good trade. 13% say bad trade. Very interesting, though. It would change the whole complexity of the NFC East, because we talk about the NFC East as an ever-changing carousel of who's going to lead that division. And right now it's the Dallas Cowboys. Washington would have no say whatsoever in talking about who would lead the NFC East, because they would be going into the season with Tony Romo as the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
They would be at the bottom of the barrel. They would be worse than Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles, way worse than the New York Giants, and not even sniffing the Dallas Cowboys. If you're Washington, you need a whole plethora of picks in there involved in this. Yeah, it's not going to happen, though.
No.
That's too big of a deal.
Oh yeah,
but for Jerry Jones to pull, he would be crying if he ever let Tony Romo go to the Washington Redskins. All right, let's go into the last segment after this commercial break. You know, we already talked about the rumors happening at NFL Combine. There's another rumor, Johnny Manziel. They're talking about him. We'll talk about that coming up on The Drive.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Jeez, that song brings me back to high school.
I knew it would. I don't want to see what you say. I'm like, ooh, Papa Roach. I don't love this one this morning.
This is my last.
Exactly.
Welcome back to The Drive. 56 and a half minutes, so we got 3.5 minutes left in this first hour. And we already talked about the rumor of that trade between the Cowboys, Redskins, and the 49ers. There's some other rumors going on. And that is revolving around Johnny Manziel and his NFL comeback. It is ramping up, and there is supposedly some serious interest. According to NFL Network's Ian Rappaport and Mike Garofalo, Manziel has rehired his agent Eric Burkhart and is drawing, quote unquote, real interest from NFL teams at the NFL Combine. Really? Really? Why? That is my question, is why? Not only did this guy show that he could not play in the NFL, he showed that mentally and maturely, I don't even know the word for that, but
immaturely so.
Yeah. He couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
He couldn't.
And then he went into the court and blamed the NFL on his fall from grace.
And then most recently throws the blame at somebody else. All this points to no. He will never play in the NFL again. But supposedly there are some NFL teams that are highly interested in making Johnny Manziel a comeback back to the pro football. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. He'll be. I mean, you know, interestingly enough, Jerry Jones, who is constantly a huge supporter of Johnny Manziel, he was asked about this and asked if the former Cleveland Browns first round pick at the scouting will ever sign with the Dallas Cowboys. Jones told reporters, enough has been said. I certainly admire the same things all A&M fans have admired about him, but I recognize, just as everyone else does, including him, that he has some challenges. So that's all about that's about all I can say. We are aware of him, and he's a talented guy. Now, remember a couple of years back, Jerry Jones wanted to draft Manziel so badly that his own son, Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones, supposedly had to physically restrain Jerry Jones from turning in the draft card with Johnny Manziel's name on it. You know, ultimately, it was a wise choice, as Manziel's life and career have spiraled downwards since then. But the chances of Dallas actually signing Manziel are extremely slim. They already have their quarterback of the future in Dak Prescott, so there's no need. But I really don't know if Johnny Manziel has proven to anybody that he deserves another chance, physically or mentally. I just don't get it. So do you think he'll ever get another shot in the NFL?
Well, I think maybe he'll get one more chance.
I say no. I say no. He's going to do something stupid, and I don't wish him upon him. But he's going to do something again stupidly that's going to keep him from being signed to an NFL team. Is he a special talent? He was a special college football talent. He's not a special NFL talent. We saw how his speed didn't work. We saw how his arm really wasn't that special. So I say no. Right now on Twitter, 62% of you say that he will get another shot. I don't know what you guys are doing this morning, but he's not.
Your sports leader from Little River to Loras, Conway to Carolina Forest. We are WSCA, Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting Sports Radio, 100.3 The Team.
Hour 2 of The Drive is brought to you by Air Mechanical. Get a new high-efficient Amana system today. Air Mechanical, we're in your neighborhood.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. With your boys, Pat Payone and Wally B.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team. Hour 2 of The Drive on this Monday, March 6th. Pat Payone and Wally B hanging out with you. Hour number 2. And whether you're listening on your radio at 100.3 FM, streaming it live on our website, TeamMyrtleBeach.com, or listening through our free app, the Sports Radio 100.3 The Team app, we welcome you to the show, and thanks for listening. And to give you a recap of hour number one, if you weren't listening, talked a lot about Coastal Carolina baseball and basketball and the great weekend they had, or at least the baseball team had. Basketball fell short of a victory against Appalachian State, and they will be the 8th seed in the Sun Belt Conference basketball tournament. We went through our good or bad or ugly. We also talked about a possible 3-team trade involving the Cowboys, the Redskins, and the 49ers. And then we just wrapped up hour number one talking about Johnny Manziel and the rumors around him at the NFL Combine. And before we get to Wally B's World of Sports, let's go back to the phone lines. Dick. Dick's on the line. Wants to talk about Johnny Manziel. Dick, what's going on, my man?
Well, let me ask you guys a question. Who do you think would be a worse bust, Johnny Manziel, Ryan Leaf, or DeMarcus Russell?
The worst has got to be Johnny Manziel in my mind. I mean, I know Ryan Leaf had his own issues after his career was done, but he actually played, you know, a okay career. DeMarcus Russell was absolutely terrible on the football field and was almost too fat to play. But he actually played as well, and the only reason he's still not playing is because he's fat, not because of off-the-field issues. And so Johnny Manziel has just ruined his own career in his own way. So, Dick, who do you think has had the worst, career you can say?
Well, you got to look at it also like this. Johnny Manziel was the last starting quarterback when the Browns won a game.
Ooh. Wait, they won a game this year?
No. It was not. They won a game this year.
Oh, okay. I thought he was the last quarterback who actually won.
Well, I mean, their quarterback who was playing probably didn't help them winning the game, so yeah, you're still onto something there, Dick. But really appreciate the phone call, Dick. Yeah, it's a funny question, yeah. Ryan Leaf, Johnny Manziel, DeMarcus Russell. Oh, that's a hard one. Who would I want to start my franchise with?
Tony Romo.
Yeah, I'll take Tony Romo with a broken back and a wheelchair over those three guys. All right, it is the first segment of the 8 o'clock hour, so you know what time that is.
It's time for Wally B's World of Sports. Life is a sport. Play it like a winner.
That's right. On this Monday, we are just 1 week away from being sprung ahead into daylight savings time. So next Monday, you're going to feel the loss of that 1 hour from when you woke up Sunday morning losing the hour, so just be aware of that, okay, family, friends? Yeah. But over the weekend, Tar Heels pull it out over the Dukies. I scored major points all weekend long. I was hearing from Tar Heel fans who listened going, man, Wally, way to go, way to pick UNC. Pat Payone, how dare he pick Duke?
I helped you Tar Heel fans out by picking Duke.
And that's what I say. I go, hey, I said it's a good thing because a lot of times, you know, who we pick is the wrong one. So
it's the Pat Payone and Wally B. Curse.
I said, hopefully for you, I'll be right and he'll be wrong. And luckily you were. And, of course, did you know, you probably saw Michael Jordan was there pumping up UNC.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
What does that even mean? The ceiling is the roof. Okay, so we can't actually go that high.
The ceiling is the roof. Okay, the wall is the one. I mean,
is that as high as going to the national championship and losing to Villanova on a last-second shot? Is that the roof?
I don't know what he... I think he messed up his semantics there badly. I don't know. He must have smoked a cigar or something before he came out.
Yeah. The ceiling is the roof. Jordan.
He's getting old.
Don't do NBA drafts. Don't draft because all you do is draft ACC players. Don't worry about getting in the middle of any NBA feuds because you're not very good at that as well.
Oh my goodness!
And definitely don't speak to crowds because your public speaking needs a little bit more work.
Well, he has O and R disease, and I'll let the Big Show explain what that is because the Big Show he met up with TMZ at the airport talking about the old the big wrestling match between him and Shaq. Yeah. Is it going to happen? So TMZ talked to the Big Show and Big Show will explain exactly what O and R disease is that he and Michael Jordan have.
Bro, what's the hold up with you and Shaq?
I don't know, man. It's not my deal.
It's not your deal?
Not my deal. It's above my pay grade, brother. I'll be there. It's up to him. If he shows up, cool. If not, I'll find something to do.
You will find something to do.
I'm not sweating it anymore.
You've lost a lot of weight, bro.
Right.
You look shredded. I saw the abs. Shaq looks like he's getting bigger.
Yeah, I'm not going to give him any hard time anymore. You know what? Let's be honest. I've been in shape for 7 minutes, so I ain't got no right to pick on anybody.
So, WrestleMania, this might be the last go at it?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. Right now, it looks that way. I mean, I don't... You know, my deal ends. We'll see what my role is around there.
Okay.
I've been doing this 22 years.
Gotcha.
I got no regrets. I'm happy. They've been good to me.
Here we go.
I got zero complaints. So plus, I got a lot of young studs out there now. They don't need me.
We need you. I'm a big fan, though.
I'll still be around somewhere, I'm sure.
Okay. Would you ever consider going into UFC?
Nah. I'm 45 years old. What's wrong with you?
Here we go. There's some 45-year-olds in there.
I don't know. I got OR disease. It's called old and rich. I ain't doing that.
Thanks so much, though.
Thanks, bro. I'll see
you. There, Shaq may not be.
So, like the Big Show, Michael Jordan's got old and rich disease.
I guess when you're old and rich, you can get away with anything,
well,
right?
Well, when you're old and rich, the ceiling is the roof.
I still don't get it. Someone needs to ask him what in the hell he was thinking when he said that.
Yeah. Could you qualify that for us, Mr. Jordan?
What did you mean by the ceiling is the roof? I don't think he even knows.
When I think about it, my brain starts to hurt a little bit there.
Brain hurt, freeze, yep.
Well, you know, back to the old Dukie thing. Good news for Duke star Grayson Allen. You know, some are calling him a basketball legend. What? They call him a basketball legend. But and they give him a green light to do all the tripping he wants, saying it's about time another Dukie embraced the villain role. The Hoops legend is former Blue Devil star Jay Williams, two-time NCAA Player of the Year. He was out in New York City, and TMZ caught up with him. And he was saying that he thinks Allen should go on tripping people because there needs to be a villain. Don't be, you know, the choir boy player that Duke players are always called. So Jason Williams was saying, Allen, trip all you want, my man.
Now, you being from Duke, everybody's talking about how Grayson Allen is such
I can't get through one interview without a Grayson Allen question.
Well, the guy is like, he's so out there, he's such wild antics. Like, can a guy like this actually like survive and do well in the NBA?
I think when I look at Grayson as an NBA player, I think he translates a little bit differently. I think he can be a good NBA player.
I mean, of course, depending, he has the talent to get there.
I kind of like, you know what, I'm over it. I like the fact that he trips people. Why not? Be a villain. Enjoy it. Like, I'm not saying it gets right, but I will say sometimes there's a tendency to overreact because as a Duke player, you're always hated against. Yeah. People are always telling you that you're soft. You're a choir boy. So sometimes you want to prove to people, like, no, like, I'm from not a great area. Like, I can play basketball just like anybody else.
On a side note, I'd love to see Draymond Green and Grayson Allen go at each other. I wonder who kicked harder.
Who would win in that?
I don't know who would win.
I don't know, because I think Grayson tries to trip more like while you're running away.
Yeah.
I think Draymond just kicks you while you're right there.
Yo, Draymond's so much bigger.
I think Draymond Green's ready to fight too. Like Grayson doesn't want to fight him.
No, he's like sneaky.
Nah, and it's okay that we're having fun with him, man. Basketball should be fun at the end of the day.
So I mean, you know, if he pulls that off and were to do that, then he's going to be suspended and not have a bright future. So he's got to be a smart kind of villain.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. And he makes a great point. Jay Williams makes a great point. You know, outside of Durham, North Carolina, Duke is a villain across the nation. People just don't like the Duke Blue Devils, and they always have something negative to say about them being soft or just a bunch of high-privileged gentlemen who go out there and throw up threes all day long. And they have points. That's the teams that are built in Duke. But they win championships, and that's another reason that why they're villains. I'm with Jay Williams. Play the villain. I mean, I don't like Grayson Allen by any means, and nor do I think he should be tripping players. But, yeah, go ahead and play the villain. That's a role that fits you.
I like Grayson because he's one of the many players like Okafor, like Kennard, and many others who I've seen play here in town at the annual Beach Ball Classic. So I like seeing him do well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to see him be a villain. I think he's too soft to be a villain, to tell you the truth. He's a good basketball player, but I think when it comes to the
He's going to get abused in the NBA.
Well, exactly. And that's
he's
my
too
point.
Skinny.
That's
but I said the same thing about J.J. Redick, and J.J. Redick has carved out a niche as well in the NBA. So maybe Grayson Allen can do the same thing. He just has to learn how to shoot three-pointers because that's all he's going to do in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, you know, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing saying he'll stand for the national anthem next season. Well, LaDainian Tomlinson was caught up with TMZ as well, and he said that he doesn't believe that he's not going to kneel anymore because of the money. He believes that he's made a difference and what he did had an effect, so therefore that's why Kaepernick is really not going to kneel anymore because he's accomplished what he wants. Now, I know people are divided over the issue, but our friends at BSO have laid out 10 ways they feel Collins' protest has improved America. Here they are. More athletes are now speaking out.
Okay.
More youth are aware.
Yep.
His money, he put his money into some programs.
Definitely.
There's more racial injustice being pointed out now.
Yeah. I don't know if that was really him, but
more minds have been sparked.
Okay.
More prejudiced and biased media has been outed.
Really? I don't think so at all.
Yeah, no, yeah. More money's given to shelters and homeless. I don't know how they qualify that.
Okay.
Minority kids understand their lives have value now.
Did they
before? I don't know how he did made that happen, but
yeah,
that's what
either.
You think. Number nine, something that will be talked about far more than Cap's playing career will be what he did.
His legacy is
not going to be how bad he's been in the field or the one good year he had. It's going to be that he created this whole controversy, this whole swirl of stuff. And lastly, he showed us before we knew how Trump America would happen. That's subjective, so that's what they're saying anyway. But, you know, Colin Kaepernick says he'll stand for the national anthem next year. But don't worry, he'll get plenty of time to kneel during the games. If he ain't playing, right? You know what I'm saying? He'll be sitting on his knees going, oh, come on, coach, put me in.
Unless he is signed by the Cleveland Browns,
that's
and he'll
right.
be the starter next year.
No, then that's the only time he'll be upright. Then the only time he'll be upright is when he's, you know, not playing for the Browns. And we talked about Jose Calderon, who was cut by Golden State last week after just 2 hours and still made $415,000 because when Durant went down, they had to bring in somebody else, so he had to go. And because his contract was guaranteed, he got $415,000 for doing nothing and two free jerseys to boot, the home and away jersey they made for him. It was the worst case of someone getting paid an extravagant amount of money for zero return since Johnny Depp's last 10 movies. Did you hear about Adele? She was in concert this week in England, and she confessed that she is now married. And by being married, she says she's also confirmed that she is happier than she's ever been. So her next album is going to be completely awful because she's happy.
It's a Taylor Swift.
Her music is sad stuff. So now that she's happy, maybe we'll get a club banger out there.
Maybe, but it's the Taylor Swift issue. You know, whenever she breaks up with a guy, that's when her best music, not in my opinion best music, but in terms of everyone else around the world, her best music comes out.
So
Adele's best music is when she's sad and lonely.
So well, let's see if she can change that trend and prove us wrong. But I'm betting that now that she's happy, it ain't going to be as sappy.
No.
If you know what I'm saying. Lastly, USA Today posted a list of dumb slang words that our kids are using these days.
Let's get them.
Here are some of the words. Sus.
What?
It's short for suspicious or suspect. Like, what? I'm not surprised he lied to you. I told you he was sus.
Why not just complete the word?
too much work.
It's laziness.
Another one is the letter V. It's short for very. Like, instead of saying your friend is very good at something, you say, she's V good, man.
That's so dumb.
He's V good. Crazy. Another one is woke. It's like the opposite of being ignorant. If you're woke, it means you're smart and pay attention.
So, kids, or so, parents, when you...
be aware, there's five more to go.
These are the words that you need to be listening to.
Fire. Kids use it as an adjective now. It basically means something hot, like, that new song is straight fire.
Okay, that one's okay.
Right, that one's okay.
It's spelled F-Y-A?
F-I-R-E.
Oh,
fire. It should be here. It's good.
Fire.
They probably do that with...
Or F-I-Y-A.
It's probably spelled that way in texting. Another one is thirsty. It means you're desperate, especially when it comes to dating. So, he ain't had a girlfriend in years. He's so thirsty, he can't stand it.
Okay. Don't know about that one.
Another one is clap back. It's when you respond with a clever comeback, like, he kept teasing me, but he wasn't expecting me to clap back.
What is going on here?
Two more.
You are getting an education, ladies and gentlemen.
These
on the drive
are these
this
are
morning.
Words your children, your teens, your adolescents are using, so you can be hip to the skit.
Maybe
if you know
you
what I mean with that replacement.
Go ahead and write these down, and you can use them against your kids.
Turnt. It can mean two things. You're either really hyped about something or you're on something.
Turnt up.
Something it's used like sometimes it's used like a synonym for like you know instead of saying something is effed up, you'd say it's turnt up. Or it can be good or bad. So it's turned up good, turned up bad.
The radio, turned up.
Turned up. And lastly, lit. It doesn't mean you're drunk or wasted anymore. It means something cool like, that party was lit. This show is lit.
Now,
it's the shiz.
I would admit, I've used lit. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, if that ruins your opinion of me, that it was a high opinion already. Lit is something I've used, and it's...
But I'll give you this. Payone, if you're going to use any word on this list, at least use the number one word.
What's that?
Lit.
Okay.
That's the top of the list. So the words are sus, V, woke, fire, thirsty, clapback, turnt, and lit.
I think the biggest reason that the vocabulary of America's youth, and whether you want to put me into that category as well, I'm 30 years old, but you know, compared to probably some of our listeners, I'm a baby. You know, it's because of texting. This is the reason why vocabulary is changing, because we text in such short words, trying to get the message across in the least amount of characters.
Yeah.
And so it's now translating into our everyday vocabulary, not mine or yours, but into kids.
And as these words and these vocabulary shrink and these conversations and these socializations, so do the brains shrink.
Oh, yes, you're very true. Travis writes in, he texts me and says, not in my house, we use full words and sentences.
Keep it that way, Travis. Your kids will be much better off in the future. And lastly, Friday on the Tonight Show, Fallon had Samuel L. Jackson on there. And you know, it is the season for Girl Scout cookies.
Oh, no.
Some people are relapsing with their sugar addiction, etc.
Can I just say, at grocery stores, when I see the Girl Scout cookies, I do my best to not make eye contact. Because if I make eye contact, they know I'm buying at least three boxes.
Oh, man.
I just walk by them and I look around the other direction just so I don't have to make eye contact with them. Because it's a curse.
It is. They're so good.
Well, they're good.
Samuel L. Jackson, a Grand Strand favorite, was on the Tonight Show, and he read a Facebook rant about Girl Scout cookies.
Girl Scout cookies are $4 a box. That's too high. If you want me to go into my purse and pay $4 for cookies, I'm going to need to see an actual Girl Scout selling cookies and not her damn parents. How about she at least be nearby? Last time I checked, it's called Girl Scouts, not Mom and Dad Scouts. If you don't have a sash, you don't get my cash.
Samuel Jackson ranting about Girl Scout cookies, and how you see more parents selling them than the kids nowadays.
For real, though.
Yeah.
The kids just sit there, and the moms and dads are the ones who are accosting you as you walk into, you know, whatever grocery store or place you're going into to buy whatever goods.
But if you're like me, any kid, student knocks on my door, sees me in public somewhere that's selling something for the good of the school or for some kind of function, I can never say no.
I'd just rather give them my money instead of buying their cookies that I'm going to destroy in one sitting.
I have done that sometimes, especially if they come out with magazines. I'm like, here's $10.
Yeah, don't talk.
Order the magazines you want, okay? Because I don't want no magazines but here, because I just can't say no. I always want to help the kids, you know? Because I remember when I was young and I would try to sell candy bars or whatever we were selling,
yeah.
I got a lot of no's, and it hurt me deeply. So I don't want to be that kind of the adult who's not supporting the children. So if you're an adult, whether you have kids, you don't have kids, when kids need your support for a school function, give up the cash, even if they ain't got a sash.
Well, I don't know where you come up with these things. They're great. You know, another way they sell these the great kids items, puppy dog eyes. If I see a kid that has the puppy dog eyes, it looks like there's tears in their eyes, I'm sold. It doesn't matter. They could be selling me a bag of poop. I'll probably buy that.
If an adult comes up with you and there's no kid with them, even if there is a kid with them and the adult's doing the presentation at your door, I want to say, let me see some credentials to make sure
you're saying stranger danger. Stranger danger.
Well, because if the adult's doing the pitch, then a lot of times it could be a scam, and I've seen that happen.
Yeah,
I've seen an adult with a kid, you just stay next to me and be quiet. Hey, yes, sir, we're collecting money for this program. Okay, do you have an official something I can see
where
to make sure
kids?
It's legit? No, I don't, but I can come back with one. And of course, they don't come back.
Of course, they don't.
Keep that in mind. And that is your Monday edition of Wally B's World of Sports. Remember that life indeed is a sport, it's a game. Play it like a winner. And don't forget to appreciate every moment of every day. You get reminded just how precious life is. That's why now is called the present, because life is a gift. And count your stressings. Forget those blessings. That's it, brother.
Yes, sir. Did you say that one right?
I think I did.
Forget your stress and count your blessings.
Forget your stressings, count your blessings, count your blessings, forget your stressings.
Okay, I got you now.
Be so blessed you can't be stressed or depressed.
Jeez, that's another one. Add it to the list. Add it to the list. All right, we got some MVP NBA conversation coming up, and it's all brought on by one owner who cannot keep his foot out of his mouth. It's coming up on The Drive.
Welcome, race fans. My four favorite words in the world are, gentlemen, start your engine.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Gentlemen, start your engine. Gentlemen, start your engine.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.
Well, if you weren't awake already, you're now awake by somebody yelling those four little words into your ear.
We kickstart your heart.
It's Monday. Everyone needs a little kickstart.
That's right.
You're right. You know who else needs a kickstart? Mark Cuban, the Mavericks owner. I mean, if nothing else, you got to give him a little bit of credit for his consistency of his evaluation of one of the league's great players right now, Russell Westbrook. Yeah, remember back to last season, or this was last postseason. It was in the first round matchup between the Mavericks and the Oklahoma City Thunder, and it was right before Game 5 that ended the Dallas Mavericks postseason. Mark Cuban came out and said that Russell Westbrook falls short of the superstar status, and that led to Kevin Durant having this response in the press conference.
Were you aware of Mark Cuban's comments before the game when he said Kevin was the only superstar on this team, and how do you react to that?
Hold up. He's an idiot. Don't listen to this. He's an idiot. All right, that's what we got to say about that. He's an idiot. Next question.
He's an idiot. That was the response, and I completely agree. You don't think that Russell Westbrook is a superstar in his league, you are an idiot. You are.
Yeah.
And you know what happened after that? After Mark Cuban, the owner for the Mavericks, who doesn't even play on the court after he opened up his big mouth, Russell Westbrook went off for 36 points, 12 rebounds, and 9 assists and ended the Mavericks season. So congratulations.
That's right.
So what is he doing again? He was asked about the MVP battle, and he said it's a toss-up. But he doesn't mention Russell Westbrook. He mentions Houston's James Harden, Cleveland's LeBron James, and San Antonio's Kawhi Leonard are deserving mention in this conversation. Asked if Westbrook was in the mix, he said he's not. What? What are you smoking? Hey, can NBA owners be drug tested and then fined and suspended? Because Mark Cuban needs to be drug tested right now.
He's got O&R disease. Getting older, and he's too rich. He thinks everything he says matters, and it doesn't. He knows it all.
If you're not aware, or if you even are aware, that Russell Westbrook is on pace to join Oscar Robinson, who's the only player in NBA history to average a triple-double for a season, and you don't know that and don't think he's in the top three of the MVP, if not number one or number two, there's something wrong with your ability to break down NBA players.
And you don't understand what the MVP means.
Yeah. I mean, he's right now first in the NBA in points with 31.7 points per game. He's third in the NBA in assists with 10.1 assists. He's 12th in rebounding as a point guard with 10.7 rebounds per game.
And did he at least tied, or did he not break a triple-double record that hasn't happened since Oscar Robinson?
I'm sure. Come on. Now, you could make the argument because the Thunder are 35-27 and are on pace to fall short of 50 wins, that could really be the big thing about taking him out of the MVP candidacy.
Yeah.
That's not how I do it. I don't care. This team's going to make the playoffs, and they have the best player, in my opinion, individual player, and most valuable player in the NBA. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me why Mark Cuban continues to open his mouth and just prove that he's an idiot in terms of NBA intelligence.
He thinks he's all that because of Shark Tank.
Maybe.
You know?
But even before that, he was one of those guys who would, on the sideline during games, if a player did something that he didn't like against his Dallas Mavericks team, he would like shake his finger or yell at them like a fan.
Yeah.
And I like that aspect of Mark Cuban, but I also realize he's an owner and he's an idiot.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant says it correctly. He is an idiot. Now, let's talk about this MVP, of this. There's still a couple of months before we'll know who the actual MVP will be for the NBA season. And you can already take two names off of the list. That's Toronto Raptors star Kyle Lowry, who's recovering from wrist surgery, and Kevin Durant, who will be out at least 4 weeks. And that does cause some concern for Warriors fans, but you got to take them off the list. So who right now are the top five? Top five, you could probably interchange a couple of guys into there, including Steph Curry, who's probably just outside, and even John Wall, who's just probably outside. But I got to say, Isaiah Thomas has surprised me so much this year. He really has. He's got to be in my top five. As he made clear against the win over Cleveland just a week ago, nobody puts him in check, not even the defending champions. Now, that's not going to happen in this seven-game series. They're going to be able to check him. And if they don't, they will not allow the rest of the team of the Celtics to score very much. But it's going to be very interesting to see if they have the Boston Celtics and Isaiah Thomas have what it takes to really contend or challenge the Cavaliers in the playoffs. But with Thomas leading the way, there should be no doubt. He is a top-five player in the NBA. 24.6 points, 4.6 assists, and 3 rebounds in his last 5 games. He is an incredible player, so he's in my top five. Number four, it's Kawhi Leonard of the Spurs. And maybe that's why Russell Westbrook is not in his top three, because he had Mark Cuban had Kawhi Leonard in his top three. Kawhi Leonard's number four for me of the San Antonio Spurs. We had on Wednesday night another reminder of why he is continuing to improve offensively in his game winner over Paul George against the Indiana Pacers. He takes those clutch shots without hesitation, and he's proving why he deserves a permanent seat at the table of the league's elite two-way players. I mean, in the last 5 games, he's averaging 20.6 points, 4.6 rebounds, and 2.4 assists in those last 5 games.
We have a retired gentleman from Philadelphia who is known as Mike the Fan on ESPN Radio in Philly, who's down here on vacation listening, and he wants to chime in.
Let's hear it, Mike. What's going on, my man?
Hey, good morning, you guys. You are the first station I tune into when I come down here to play a little bit of golf and do a bit of laughing and dancing.
Perfect. Is it good golf? That's the question. Do you play good? Well,
I'm not ready for the TPC, but I'm also not going to play the cane patch. I was listening this morning, and somebody mentioned that there's a chance Johnny Manziel would possibly like to get back in the NFL. And I hope Goodell gets off his can, and because realizing that he's supposed to protect the league's brand with everything Manziel did, and they're going to let an owner bring him in, and you've got these veteran players, and they're going to put some faith behind the quarterback like him. No, please don't do that. Mark Cuban, and here's a man who's successful, has a lot of money, and as a result, he says some things that people just need to realize, okay, change the channel. Let's see, what else have you talked about this morning that I liked? Coastal Carolina.
Yes,
the
sir.
The girls, I think, did pretty good. Dustin Johnson won again. I met him at a Golf Dimensions promo in 2013. And that's about all I can say, but I'm going to listen to what you guys have to say because that's why you're on the radio.
Really appreciate the phone call, Mike, and really thank you for coming down to Myrtle Beach and listening to us.
Yeah, appreciate you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Have a great day.
Have a good one.
Have a great golf game.
Yeah, good luck on the links. You know, Mark Cuban, you know, I question the fact whether Mark Cuban actually believes what comes out of his mouth or whether he says it, just says things to get a rise out of people.
Yeah.
Because I think he understands the value of entertainment and bringing thoughts and people thinking about what he says to his Dallas Mavericks organization. We probably wouldn't be talking about the Dallas Mavericks unless it wasn't for Dirk Nowitzki, the Nerlens Noel trade, or Mark Cuban's big mouth.
Yeah. You know something scary to think about?
What's that?
His name has been mentioned quite a bit in future presidential candidates.
No. Don't say that.
Can you imagine?
Don't say that.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't say that.
It's a scary thought.
I don't want to hear that. Number three in my terms of my ranking, my NBA MVPs right now, LeBron James has got to be somewhere in the top three. I'm going to put him at number three. And they added some good pieces with Deron Williams and Andrew Bogut. It'll be really hard to see what team in the East can really contend with them in a seven-game series. Yeah. Wally and I are on the same page
here. Don't forget Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver's a great piece as
when
well.
When JR comes back.
They have a lot of great pieces.
Yeah.
I don't see a team in the East contending with them, and it's got to be, the catalyst is all LeBron James. In the last five games, 23.3 points, 9.8 rebounds, 8 assists in the last five games. LeBron James, he's a top three player, if not the best player in the entire NBA.
And he still every season has a chip on his shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't he? Number two, I'm torn, Wally. I'm torn. I really am. You know, people would really say that it's either James Harden or Russell Westbrook. And I want to put Russell Westbrook up at number one, but I can't do it just yet.
I would, personally for me, I would put it between Russell and between Leonard.
Really?
Because I think Leonard's having a really big impact like we expected him to have
yeah.
for a while now this year with the Spurs.
Especially without Tim Duncan.
Yeah, without
he's
Tim.
He's taking the mantle as the number one player.
It's his team finally now, so I would put it between him and Westbrook.
But you take James Harden off the Rockets, they're not making the playoffs. Right now, they're number three in the Western Conference.
Yeah. I would have to confess that, personally, I don't really care for James Harden, so that would probably affect my vote when it shouldn't. But let's face it, sports writers are human, and they do have those kinds of effects on their voting.
Either way, whoever you have at one or two, these guys got to be up there at one or two.
Yeah, yeah.
Russell Westbrook, I have him at number two right now, which is hard for me to say because I think he should be number one for most of the season because of what he'll probably accomplish this season. And as I mentioned, first in points, third in assists, 12th in rebounds as a point guard. As a point guard. And without Kevin Durant, he still has this Oklahoma City Thunder team vying for a playoff position with really not much around him. Not much at all. Russell Westbrook's got to be number two, though, for me. Number one's James Harden. I mean, the transformation he has made into one of the league's best point guards. Yeah, that's right, best point guard, not shooting guard, point guard. I mean, he is a top three scorer, a league leader in assists. And, some nights he actually decides to play defense, which is crazy. You know, the most nights he doesn't, but some nights he does. But it should be clear now that the Rockets are really a legitimate threat in the Western Conference. In the last five games, he's averaged 20 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds. He is playing some great basketball, and his transformation from even last season to this season is remarkable. If I was giving an award away right now, it'd have to be James Harden, whether it's for his playing prowess or his amazing facial hair, which I'm so jealous of.
Yeah, if I can grow a beard like that, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't? right now on Twitter, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban says Russell Westbrook is not a top three for his MVP award. Your response, 70% say he's an idiot, 30% say he's right. Pretty interesting right there. Very interesting if you ask me. Mark writes in his top three for the MVP right now, Westbrook, LeBron, and Isaiah Thomas. That's a pretty good one as well. I agree. Mark also gives us his good, bad, and ugly. He says, good, Hop Henderson at the combine, and yes, we will talk about that in just a little bit. Bad, the Celtics' ridiculous loss to the Suns. You had to see it. If you didn't see it, the Suns have a layup at the end of the game that they make, then the Celtics pass the ball in, and it's just a calamity that ends up in a Suns hand, and in the last second, three-pointer to win the game. The Suns beat the Celtics on that. Ugly, anything to do with Roger Goodell. Hey, Mark, you and I are on the same page with that one completely, completely. When we come back from this next commercial break, some trends in NFL free agency you should keep your eye on. That's coming up on The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team.
Welcome back. 43 and a half minutes past the hour. Pat Payon and Wally B hanging out with you on The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Let's go to the phone lines one more time. Richard. Richard, what's going on, my man? You got a bad and an ugly, supposedly?
Yes, sir. Good morning, Pat. I got two good and one ugly.
All right, let's hear it. Bad.
All right, first one would be DJ winning tournament.
Yeah.
First tournament win since being number one. Number two is Coastal Carolina baseball. And
yes,
my ugly is the Redskins giving Gruden a two-year extension on his contract. And my last point would be I'd love to see Cousins end up in San Francisco because at least he would get some respect out there because he's not getting any from Washington. So that's my two goods and my ugly, and thanks for taking my call, Pat. I listen to you every morning. Thank you.
Appreciate the phone call, Richard, and have a great morning and a great start to your week. And, yes, you know, whether you like Kirk Cousins or you dislike him, you got to admit that the respect factor in Washington is limited for Kirk Cousins. They just don't – they can't come to an agreement making him a top 10 paid quarterback or even a top 5 as he's probably wanting to be picked but or given the salary for. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with him. Very interesting. I think they need a lot more for them to move Kirk Cousins, though, than just –
yeah,
you know, the trade that we were talking about earlier.
If they trade him or let him get away without signing him after they made him the franchise, it'll be such an embarrassment to the franchise, and I think it'll set him way back for a while.
Yes, sir. All right. Now, we're just a few days left before free agency kicks off. There are some trends that have started to emerge. Teams that need a running back, cornerback, or wide receiver will have options in this free agency period. And teams searching for a quarterback or needing someone to fly off the edge, they may have to wait for the draft. So let's go through some developments that are expected to happen with the 2017 free agent market. Number one, the cornerbacks will get paid. They will be getting their money. I mean, no position right now has a greater supply and demand than the cornerback this year. It is the premium position, and that is why my LA Rams felt compelled to franchise tag Trumaine Johnson for $16.7 million. I mean, he's a mid-level starter. He's not a great cornerback by any means. He's good, not great, but they felt the need to go ahead and hang on to him because he is a key piece. I mean, according to some GMs, cornerback is one of the three positions that they believe traditionally are difficult to address in free agency, those three being left tackle, cornerback, and quarterback. Right now, there are some top shelf talent, such as Stephon Gilmore and A.J. Bouye, that are going to be getting some big, big paydays. But there is also a healthy second tier of DBs in this free agency period. I mean, you have Dre Kirkpatrick, Logan Ryan of the Patriots, Prince Mukamura, who's been up and down in his career, but it's been shown to be a viable piece, Maurice Claiborne, and there's others as well. The thing that is noted about the cornerback position is that versatility in the NFL is needed. And there's hybrid players up and down rosters now, whether they can play inside or outside. And if you have that ability, that gives you really some extra value on these rosters. That's almost why, you know, a lot of people are valuing Micah Hyde of the Packers so highly, is because he can play almost any position in the defensive backfield and even maybe some cover linebacker as well. But teams feel more comfortable right now paying cornerbacks, in part because they transcend schemes earlier. A lot of GMs, and I also believe this as well, running backs and defensive backs face one of the smoothest transitions from college to the pros because their roles are almost identical, if not similar, at both the college and NFL levels. I mean, we saw it last year. How many young running backs had such quick success just jumping into a scheme and running all over it? Same thing with DBs.
Yeah.
That's the first trend I think you're going to see in this NFL free agency period. Number two is veteran running backs could be disappointed. The decline in salary for the veteran running back is hardly a new trend. I mean, we've seen it how there's been the diminished role of running backs, and now there's more of the two- or three-headed running back backfields for teams. But this year, you know, with the release of Adrian Peterson and Jamaal Charles, it adds some really, really strong depth to a group that was already deep of free agent running backs. Running back, I think, is going to turn in this upcoming season to a very key piece to offenses. And we saw it with Ezekiel Elliott's fast success. It's a reminder that a premier and premium running back can really make a huge impact on your teams. And not only are they worthy of high selections in the draft, but maybe some contracts as well to keep them on your roster. Now, all that talent that's arriving in April will probably keep the prices low for some of the big-name running backs, and we don't know what is exactly that's going to happen. There's still so many rumors swirling around Adrian Peterson, what team he's going to be going to. Jamaal Charles has been linked to the Philadelphia Eagles, although nothing has come out about that. But it's going to be intriguing to see what happens with these DBs. The last trend, there's really few edge rushers in this free agent period. We saw it with the Mario Addison move that the Carolina Panthers had made just last week. You know, he would have been one of the more compelling young pass rushers in free agency. So that's why the Panthers really went out and prevented him from getting to free agency. But the franchise tags on Jason Pierre-Paul and Melvin Ingram really highlighted, the lack of options available. The best pass rushers of this free agency will be like Nick Perry, Jabal Sheard, Andre Branch. I mean, and teams that are really desperate to get an edge pass rusher for 1 year can find some one-year solutions in DeMarcus Ware, Julius Peppers, and Dwight Freeney. But that doesn't really help you in the long run. Those are Band-Aids.
Yeah.
If you're a team that thinks you are maybe a piece or away, if your Super Bowl window is dwindling, maybe those teams go out and sign a DeMarcus Ware, Julius Peppers, Dwight Freeney. But if you're a team that is a couple years away, you're not going to be going out and signing those guys to a one-year deal. It's not going to happen. Now, the other thing that's really going to keep these guys from getting some big deals is the fact that the top-end talent of this rookie class coming in is immense. There are some huge, huge names at the top of this NFL draft that are going to be edge rushers. I mean, it's probably one of the hardest positions to evaluate, but it's definitely the position that teams focus on, outside of the quarterback and left tackle the most. But it appears in this draft, that'll be the route that most teams take to beef up their edge rushers. I'm really looking forward to the NFL draft. I'm really looking forward to the NFL free agency period. I think there's going to be a lot of key pieces to move and a lot of teams that are going to be shaking up some rosters with the draft and their free agency period. When we come back, the final word and what to watch, that's all coming up on The Drive.
It's time for the final word. The show is almost over, but the conversation continues throughout the day on Twitter at 1003 The Team. Enjoy your workday. We're wrapping up ours.
Welcome back to The Drive on Sports Radio 100.3 The Team. Just about 3 minutes left in today's show. Really appreciate everyone for participating on Twitter and the phone calls. Got some great phone calls today. And there's a lot of action in college basketball, and I will get into that in just a little bit as I'm continuing to search to see which teams are actually playing in these games.
8 days to March Madness!
Woo-wee. Cannot wait.
52 till the NFL draft.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Told you, Wally, I'm a draft nerd.
That's why I'm counting it down for you, my brother.
Thank you very much. All right, my final word. I think some congratulations and some recognition it needs to be given to D'Angelo Hop Henderson. He had an incredible NFL combine. He ran a 4.48 in the 40, which was top five of all of the running backs at the NFL combine.
Nice.
20 reps at the bench press, 34-inch vertical, and 120-inch long jump. He had some incredible marks, and the bottom line that they broke him down with, you know, that they say he's built low to the ground, he has the balance and power to really be an effective runner. He also has the courage, the burst, and the one-cut ability that should appeal to some zone scheme teams. He's also got some ability to pass catch, and his willingness to block will give him the chance to compete in a role. They don't break it down. They do say he's undersized, but he still has the ability to actually get into the NFL, compete. They don't break it down into where they think he will actually play or where drafted. But I got to believe after that, he's going to be drafted. All right, going through today's schedule for what to watch. You know, a lot of different semifinals and finals of their conference tournaments trying to get into the NCAA tournament. Starting off in the Horizon League Basketball Tournament semifinals, Youngstown State versus Northern Kentucky, 7 p.m. ESPNU. The Southern Conference Championship game, whoever wins this game will be in the NCAA tournament, 7 p.m. ESPN. That is East Tennessee State versus UNC Greensboro. We also have the Pacers at the Hornets in the NBA, 8 p.m. TNT. You have the Horizon League semifinal, Milwaukee versus University of Illinois Chicago, 9 p.m. ESPNU. You also have the title game, so whoever wins in the MAC tonight between Siena and Iona, they will be in the NCAA tournament, 9 p.m. ESPN2. You also have the semifinal in the West Coast Conference, Santa Clara versus number 4 Gonzaga, 9 p.m. ESPN. You got to believe Gonzaga wins that game. Also, the nightcap, Clippers at Celtics. Everyone have a great day.
The home of Coastal Carolina and the Carolina Panthers. This is WSEA, Atlantic Beach, Myrtle Beach. Cumulus Broadcasting, Sports Radio 100.3, The Team.